Welcome to the Floor Money Audio Commentary. This is David Floor on Monday, the 6th of September, recording at 9:38 p.m., and that's British summertime. Now, first, a quick look at the highlights here today. The Asian stock markets were mostly a little lower, although some of the ASEAN sector were a bit firmer, and the Hang Seng Index was up 0.5%. Japan down 2.21%. The European stock markets mostly closed lower, not least Italy down nearly 2%, Spain down 1.6%. The main exceptions were the UK, which was up over 1%, and then a big 4.36% jump by the Swiss Market Index on the Swiss National Bank's intervention. More on that in a moment. Brazil closed up nearly 3% today. Mexico firmer by 1.65%. The U.S. market seesawed here. Opened strong, but then weakened. And we're currently closed down 0.74% for the S&P 500. That's at 11.65. The NASDAQ had a smaller decline, but it's off the lows of the day. Well off the recovered more than half of the losses from the day's lows. Long-dated government bond prices had reversed earlier declines and closed with modest gains. The U.S. dollar is firmer in here today. The dramatically weaker currency is the Swiss franc, and the reason for that, if you haven't already heard it, is that the Swiss National Bank, which had intervened last month, then came in again today, and this time they pegged the Swiss franc to the euro at 120, and they promised unlimited intervention to hold that floor. So, sharply weaker Swiss franc. More on the implications or possible implications of that in a moment. And gold. Gold this morning hit a new high. It had rallied up to 1921 and 15 cents, then fell back to 1862 as Wall Street rallied, and closed at 1877.63. Well, that's where it's trading at the moment in after hours activity. The price of silver, which is also still trading, it's down to $42.10. That's down 96 cents, and platinum is down $25, $18.59.80, and palladium is down nearly $27 to $7.56. The industrial metals were mostly weaker as well. Grain and bean complex was weaker in here today. However, crude oil, well, just about unchanged for Brent. It was $3 off, for WTI, just about unchanged for WTI, but it's $3 off the low of the day at 86.39, and Brent closed up $3, just over the $113 level. Okay. So what's going on here? Well, obviously we still have very nervous stock markets, and they are very much preoccupied with the euro crisis. That's the main one. And as Owen has emphasized repeatedly in recent weeks, and as I've also mentioned in these broadcasts, that Euroland really is the focal point for global concerns right now. But there's no shortage of other concerns, because the U.S. economy is also very much of a problem, and including skirting with the recession and unemployment being unacceptably high. And then there are the inflation problems that we have in the growth economies, such as China and India, and that remains a problem generally. So this has been a tough environment here for global stock markets, and it has been very clear since back in, was it in early August or late July? Forgive me for not recalling the date, having just come back from holiday. That's my excuse on this. But I remember when we had that new high for the year by the NASDAQ index, and on that day it then saw a downside key day reversal, a clear sell signal. And we've really had a significant meltdown subsequently, and it has been very apparent to us that this is bear market action that's been unfolding. It's just a question of how much bear market action do we receive. And it's hard to make a bull case at this stage, although I don't become more bearish as markets go lower. I become less bearish overall, but I am still reluctant to put any money in this market, although it is very much my intention to do so if we see stock markets weaken a bit further. And I think we'll also be spoiled for choice, and Owen has done those excellent reviews of Dividend Aristocrats and other high yielding companies, and any company with a really good solid dividend and a history of increasing that dividend that's leveraged to the growth economy, the Asian led growth economy I should say, really ought to be able to hold its dividend and quite possibly even increase it over the next year or more, despite the very weak performance of Western economies and despite the slowdown in the Asian economies. Now, while the Euro region's debt problems are nothing short of horrific, and I think sentiment is further undermined by the fact that we get such, well, certainly Europe has never spoken with one voice, and it's unlikely to in this situation. And while everybody knows what the solution to keep the euro on the rails has to be, and that's obvious, they have to move to fiscal union, and they need to, as part of that, they would issue euro bonds. And the ECB is going to have to pay one heck of a lot of, or print rather, big difference. The ECB is going to have to print one heck of a lot of euros. Now, everybody knows this. It's just that there's a whole lot of bickering and lobbying in terms of how this process actually unfolds and over what time period, and that's additional uncertainty for the markets. In my own mind, and call me naive 6 months from now if it hasn't happened, but I think that it's very clear that this is the path that they will take, and that the euro will survive on that basis, and probably with Greece still a member of the euro, although I wouldn't bet my life on that. And therefore, while it will take many years to work off these debt problems, and all this is a recipe for really slow growth in the region, this is not the end of the world, which people have sometimes indicated. You can certainly say the same for the United States. And that problem, while also very serious, I wouldn't want to underestimate it for a minute. And there's never been a whole lot of doubt in many people's minds, including Owens and mine, that it would take years and years to work this off. We know that credit crisis recessions take a minimum of 3 to 5 years to before economies get back to anything that could be described as remotely normal. And it's likely to take a good deal longer because of the huge debts that had been run up by the private sector and also by governments and states. So again, that's a recipe for very slow growth. But before one gets too depressed about that, equity investors, well, you know what we like in terms of the various Fuller Money themes, and we like these multinational companies, which are clearly leveraged to the global economy. And the U.S. has more of those companies than any other country. And we also like European companies, which are leveraged to the global economy. I mean, when I see something like BMW falling back quite sharply, I think, well, this is getting really interesting once again. Or a company like Siemens, again, falling back very sharply. They're interesting. So, again, we're going to be spoiled for choice in here, in my opinion. And then let's take the Asian growth economies, including India. Now, the monetary tightening that they've been undertaking is certainly a headwind, as we have seen, for equity prices. And it's also slowing growth overall. And that means lower corporate profits lower corporate profits than were previously forecast. And that's true pretty much globally. But these countries have reloaded the interest rate gun, so they're in a position to provide a fairly decent stimulus once they feel that the primary reason for their monetary tightening, inflationary pressures, and once they feel that that's abating. The trouble is, it's not abating at all yet. And that Brent crude oil, which we mention every day, that price is still too high. And the food prices, rough rice, that's a very, very important one in Asia. And that price has been moving up, not today, but it's moved up quite a bit in the last couple of months. So the inflation concerns persist, and that's really capped the upside for stock markets, in my opinion, and it does leave stock markets quite vulnerable to some additional weakness. But again, are we going to get a repeat of 2008 for the markets favored by Fuller Money, which obviously do not include Western bank shares and do not include the weaker stock markets of the region, the peripheral countries, which are obviously going to be in recession for a very, very long time, perhaps a decade or more. The outlook for floor money themes, in my opinion, is really very attractive. We just don't want to pay too much for them, and therefore, they've become some of them have become quite attractive again at today's valuations, and there's a good chance that they'll become even more attractive. Therefore, one ought to be becoming less pessimistic and more optimistic as these markets come down, bearing in mind that we buy companies, the equity investors, we buy companies, not the economies. And I've described many of these multinational companies in the West, successful multinational companies, as being autonomies. They're able to operate anywhere they want, and they're doing very successfully. They're the antithesis of their home country governments in terms of balance sheets. So there's a lot that's of interest to us in the equity picture. Now, what about these long-dated government bond prices? And they have remained very, very strong overall, but they may well be tripped up by the next round of monetary stimulus, assuming that we do get another round of monetary stimulus. And I don't see any way that is going to be avoided. For instance, I think the Fed is going to be under increasing pressure. We'll see, following the extended meeting that the Fed will be holding later this month on the 21st and 22nd, I believe. But I think the Fed will be under a considerable amount of pressure to pump more liquidity into the economy. I maintain that it would not be very clever of it for it to be buying long-dated government bonds to lower yields further. I think that created the impression that we had a deflationary problem in the U.S. But at any rate, we certainly know that they're going to err on the side of inflationary problems, and I think they'll have to print a lot more money. I think, well, they don't have to, but I think that's what they will do. And when we had QE2, as you may recall, when that was launched, and the Fed never called it QE2, but that's what it was soon dubbed. When that was launched in November, we had quite a sharp rise in long-dated government bond yields. And the same thing happened in 2009 when there was a massive stimulus was introduced. It actually started in the fourth quarter of 2008, and there was quite a rise in long-dated government bond yields. So anything worthy of the moniker QE3 is, I think, going to cause fixed interest investors to be less concerned about deflationary pressures and more concerned about future inflationary pressures, and quite rightly too. What about currencies? This interesting situation with the Swiss franc. First, it really has spiked the old view, which I think it lost a fair degree of credibility, but it's lost all credibility now that the Swiss franc was, quote, as good as gold, as they used to, unquote, as they used to say. And a lot of euro investor money, and no doubt some sterling and some dollars and money from other parts of the world had flown into the Swiss franc really over the last 20 months, particularly over the last 20 months or so, as you can see from the charts. And I think that really caused the Swiss franc to be viewed by many people as a proxy for gold. Well, if they've lost that proxy, that probably means that the interest in gold will be even greater than it would have been otherwise, because it will be seen to have fewer proxies. And I think it also means that the Japanese yen is going to be hit by this new prime minister. I believe he's promised to do so. Yoshihiko Noda, he was the former finance minister. And he is, well, one of the first things he said was that he wanted to weaken the yen. And I think he'll certainly attempt to do that, despite a lack of enthusiasm for currency invention, to put it mildly, by the Bank of Japan governor. But the yen is certainly overextended. It's too strong for the economy, and the new Japanese Prime Minister, Mr. Noda, will be emboldened by the success that the Swiss National Bank appears to have had, and certainly has had here today. So I would expect the yen to weaken. But the point I wanted to make is that I think that this the loss of a gold proxy means increased interest for gold overall. But gold in the very short term had rallied back to last month's high, and it almost formed a key day reversal in here today. I just want to check that chart here just to make absolutely certain. Well, it missed it by a whisker, but it did push up above that $1,900 level, as I mentioned, got up to 1921.15, slightly above the August high when we did have a key day reversal. And you remember following that move, I think it got up to around 913, 914, then it fell back to almost to 1700. So we may see a pause here and something of a reaction. That wouldn't surprise me at all. And that, frankly, that would be healthy in terms of the overall technical picture for gold, which is certainly somewhat overextended relative to its medium-term trend approximated by the rising 200-day moving average. So a bit of additional consolidation, and mostly, I think it would be mostly ranging sideways to somewhat lower, I think would be technically healthy for the gold market, and it would also also create another buying opportunity. Now, one additional point I want to mention on gold is that fear has been the fear of what's going on in Euroland and what's going on in the USA has been more important for the gold bulls than the actual love of gold recently. Owen and I have often talked about gold being driven by the fear of everything else and the love of gold, just people who enjoy holding it, owning it, looking at it, wearing it, whatever. So what that means is that if we were to get a surprisingly good stock market rally, I think that would ensure another reaction by the price of gold. Conversely, if we're not going to get additional ranging, and if it's going to run higher in the short term, I think that would probably be against the background of weaker stock markets. If stock markets are too weak, as we saw in 2008, and then that can also undermine confidence in bullion. So expect a bit of volatility, but we haven't seen anything to suggest that gold will be anything other than a very strong relative performer overall. It's certainly had a good run over the last decade, as we all know, but this is not anything like bubble territory in our view. And we also expect higher prices at year end and higher prices still at the end of the first quarter of 2012. And US dollar, steady ranging overall, but for the long term, it's going to be the Asian currencies and the resources currencies, particularly the Asian currencies that that we like. And on that note, all the best to all of you.